about the road less traveled. Jesus says in Matthew 16, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me and deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? My second year of college, I'm at Morrisville. I'm taking a class to get some credits on poetry. I'm not a poetry person. We had to read 150 poems. I read about 20 of them, but I knew enough, I got an A for the course. So I'm reading this today to you. A guy named Robert Frost, he's a poet. My dad was an English professor at Morrisville College. He was into that, I am not. He writes this poem called The Road Less Traveled. The last stanza is, I was gonna make you suffer through all of it, but I couldn't even do that to myself, and I'm not even gonna say it with the right cadence because I'm not a poetry guy, but he writes, I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. Can't that apply to you and me? I'm going to use a scripture later. Jesus says, narrow is the gate. Wide is the gate to hell. Narrow is the gate to heaven. I need to be a disciple of Jesus so that I take the road less traveled. You know, I like this teaching I heard this week. If you talk to a non-Christian, they're not going to get you when you tell them about the Lord, because darkness has nothing to do with the light. But we still engage so that eventually God can open up some doors and we can speak to them, and hopefully they'll be open to God by the Holy Spirit. So one of the things that I read a devotional lately, and I like what the pastor said. What he was saying is this: if you really struggle with materialism or whatever, you have too much world and not enough God. We need more of God. For us to go where God wants us to go, we have to say, no, Lord, not me, but you. I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. I want the path that Jesus has for me, not the path that I have for myself. You know, I remember when I graduated college. I taught school for 3 years. You know, Melody and I put together resumes. We sent 500 letters to schools in Virginia and North Carolina because I'm not a fan of snow. I got a bunch of letters. As a naive college kid, I'm thinking, I'm going to have so many choices. Where am I going to go? Talk about rejection after rejection. I send one to APW, bingo, they hire me. I said, you got to be kidding me. Praise God. So discipleship, I like what this guy says, Frederick Cardoza. A disciple is a follower or a devotee of Jesus Christ. A Christ follower is someone who converts from his or her previous manner of living through repentance of sin and faith in Christ, and then begins a lifelong loving relationship with the living Christ, evidenced by a pursuit of becoming like him through obedience to his teachings. Some of us have had a relationship with Jesus for decades. I am speaking to you today. I'm not going to bring any verses that you don't know. But God wants you to not look at it through the lens of, yeah, I got that, I know that. No, you don't. I accepted Christ in August of 79. The older I get, the more I know how less. The older I get, the more I realize how little I know and how much I need God. The arrogance of my youth hopefully is going back and back. You know, he talks about repentance of sin. That's saying, God, forgive me, but it's more than that. Repentance is, that's my old lifestyle. Now my new lifestyle is this. How can a young man keep his way pure? You know, I was thinking about it. I remember years ago, I was talking to this high school girl. And she had been with her parents were upset because she had been out with this boy. He's not even my boyfriend. Nothing happened. And I said, well, you know, it is impossible for a teenage boy to be with an attractive girl like you and not think of sex. You would have thought I killed her puppy. This girl got mad at me. I said, do you know studies show that teenage boys think of sex 96.5% of the time? That's how God created us. But we have to be righteous in what we do with that. Is it wrong to notice somebody's beautiful? That's not sin. What do you do next? Why do I sometimes talk about, let me step on toes, leggings? Men are sight stimulated. If you wear leggings, okay, just wear something down that covers your backside, because you know what? Men don't want to get fighting that when you're in church. I remember I'm in a church in Watertown, and I'm preaching, and this woman leans forward. I mean, she's right here, and she has absolutely nothing on under her shirt. I said, oh, Lord, forgive me. So I walked to the other side of the stage, and I talked here for 25 minutes until she finally sat up. I don't need that when I'm preaching about Jesus. So I don't know how I got down that road, but I did. So amen, deal with it, and let's live for one another. I'm talking about being a disciple, not of you, but of Jesus. Give to gain. I read this quote this week. What is a New Year's resolution? A promise we make to ourselves for the first week of January. You know, I'm talking to somebody that works in a local gym. He says, January is a gold mine. I hate the gym in January because you got all these weekend warriors that start, but then by March, they're gone anyways, you know? Everybody has, this is what I'm going to do. You know what my New Year's resolution is? Let my yes be yes and my no be no. I heard somebody say that this week. That's the only one I'm doing. So what am I going to talk about this year? Last year, one of the major things I talked about was humility and service. We're still talking about that. But this year is discipleship. He talked about we need to have a lifelong pursuit of relationship with the living God. We need to be more like Jesus so that if you're going to tell me I've known Jesus for 4 decades like you, then you should almost be walking on water. Not living to ourselves, which is, excuse me, being a pastor, you hear a lot of people's opinions. And one of the hardest things I've heard pastors say, and I agree with this, we can't live according to others' expectations or opinions. I got to do what God wants us to do. And what God is saying is new covenant. I have a marvelous thing for you, but it's not a given. You have to work. Discipleship, it's committing. I commit my life to Jesus. I commit my finances. I commit my time. You know, last night, Randy and Lena put together a thing of prayer. I wasn't here for the whole time, but we came. And, you know, it's funny. This is what I realize the older I get. When I'm home, I don't want to go out. I mean, I was out yesterday morning. You're asking this old guy to go out twice in one day. So we came, and I got to tell you, it was the coolest thing. I just sat over here, and there was such a sweet spirit of the Lord. You know, and it wasn't any major prayer thing for me. I prayed about some stuff, and I read some scriptures, but wow, you know what, Lord? I didn't want to do that, but you moved it powerfully. I need to commit my life to Jesus, and so do you. One of the hardest things for me to see is people who are in the same place they were 20 years ago. I cannot help you. Neither can anybody else. But Jesus can. Lord, the road less traveled. I need to give my life. I need to commit. I need to learn more about you. I need to be a student of the word. I'm having a Bible study with a couple guys. We read a chapter a week. Then we talk about what God speaks to it through you. You do all this. Do that with some friends. Hey, let's read, I don't know. The next one we're going to go through is James. You know, I love the book of James. Just read through something and talk to somebody about it. You know, so we need to learn, we need to share. One of the things we need to get better at, I need to get better at, is sharing my faith with other people. Of telling them what Jesus did for me. Of inviting them along with me. You know, what I want to do is, you know, we're going to have some new member classes this year. I'm going to ask some of you old guys to come on board because there's some things we need to recommit to and relearn. I want to have at least a weekend conference about marriage because you know what? We need help with our marriages. One of the hardest things that I have learned is in my marriage, she's not here to be my servant and do my every whim and to live life the way I want her to. Now, she should. Hello, because if it's my opinion, how wrong can it be? You laugh. Don't you struggle with that with your spouse sometimes? They do things a little different. You know what God called me to do? Minister to my wife regardless of how she treats me. Now, she treats me like a king. But that's not Jesus. Jesus said, you minister. Let me minister to you. That's one of the hardest things. Oh, I can preach. Don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. But I got to tell you, that irks me. Because if I open the door for somebody, hello, put it on Facebook with stars, would you please? Because I want attention. If anyone would come after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself. Self-denial does not preach well in the American church. Pastor, you talked about leggings. No, I didn't. I talked about self-denial so that you don't dress in a way that makes a man fantasize sexually about you. Hello, newsflash. Paul says, I won't ever eat meat again. I had one of the most amazing Christmas presents my wife gave me. It was a stick of pepper. Now, she has this odd habit of cutting pepperoni with a knife. No, you take the stick and you chomp it, and life is good. Paul gave that up. He said, I would give that up and only eat fruits and vegetables if it means helping somebody else's faith. Self-denial, Jesus says. You need to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and come after me. These words are God's invitation. Is your relationship with God so on fire that you're jumping out of your skin? If not, then guess what? God's inviting you to wait to do that. You know, I'm going to tell you, status quo brings me comfort. But I need to surrender it to God because I want his way, not my way. We have to be willing to be devoted to Jesus, but it has to be on his terms. It can't be mine. Like I said, when I Facebooked that guy, do I know that he knows a lot of people I know? Do I know it could come back to haunt me in some ways? Absolutely. But I got to obey God. And I got to believe that when God put that young man on my heart, well, he's not young anymore. When God put that guy on my heart, he went before me and he's touching him and he's going to open a door. Next point I want to make is we need to be in it for the long haul. We live in an instant gratification world, one that emphasizes personal gain. There's a private college, this is not a story, a very expensive private college in New York City. And the students are having a sit-in. Why are they having a sit-in? Is it because of social injustice? No. It's because, what is their demand? Every student should get an A minus. My dad taught college for almost 40 years. He said, you know, I gave this test. Not everybody did good. So I said, you know what? I'm going to give you a makeup. If you want to, here's my free time. I'm going to be in this room from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Take the test. He says, I see one of my students who did not do good. He goes by with his baseball glove. He's playing baseball. So 5 minutes before he comes in, goes, hey, I'm taking the test. He goes, no, you're not. You had a choice. Your choice was to play baseball. We live in a world, I want an A minus. Good. Open your stinking books and study. I want a car. Get a job. I have a job. Get another one. Don't spend your money on phones. We live in a world. We feel entitled. I am entitled. I'm entitled to suffer because I love Jesus Christ. And he guaranteed me I'm going to suffer because of my faith. But that has crept into the church. And we got to be careful. Biblical values are under attack. I was asked in the last couple of years, why do you talk so much about sexuality and stuff? Hello? Hello? Will you open up your ears? It's all over. You can't watch a commercial. I don't care if it's for medication at night or if it's for insurance or if it's for an engagement ring, but you will see ungodly sexual lifestyles being portrayed. We see this on television. Why do we talk about it? Because that is not God's way. I was talking to an unbeliever, guy that he wasn't a Christian recently. I said, you need to read Romans 1, where Paul tells what's going to happen, which is what's happening today. There's hardness of hearts. Women will give up the natural desire for men and want women, and men will want men. God told us this was going to happen. This is not enlightenment. This is deception. Do your own thing as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. I come against that. Now let me say something. I have a lot of people that are good friends of mine with alternative lifestyles. They know where I stand and when I can speak truth to them. But I love them. I go out of my way to bless them so that they know that I have a real relationship with them. When I think of devotion, it brings anxiety because it means I got to commit to something. You know, I've told you the story time and time again where I went to buy an engagement ring for Melody. We got to the store door, and I left because I was scared of commitment. The next day, we made it better, you know. But we have to realize when you're insecure, acting out of that is pride. I have dealt with insecurity my whole life. When I act out of that, that is pride. That is me saying, God, I am too weak, I am too this or that. You can't use me. That is me placing myself above God. So we have to get rid of insecurity. We have to get rid of self-pity. Everybody's a victim, not me. I'm a victor. Let's move forward in Jesus Christ. And guess what? New Covenant, God's speaking to us about this. He's saying, I got great things for you, but you have to let go. Jesus says in verse 25, whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Maintaining control is a short-term gain, but it's a long-term disaster. Everything that I have, I need to give to God. My time, my finances, my family, everything has to belong to him. I'm glad today's January 1st, man. Thank you for coming today. Some of you didn't get as much sleep as I did because this cat was in bed at midnight. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God. You want help with your prayer life? Pray this verse this week, these two verses. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Pray that. Say, Lord, you show me. Mr. DePero would tell you, the heart is deceitful above all things. Your heart is wicked. My heart's wicked. I'm a work in progress. I pray that and say, Lord, you show me what's Dicaboma and what's Jesus, and help me to get rid of what doesn't belong to you. This is a long haul thing. Some of us, we've been doing this for a while. That's why I say the older I get, the more I want to teach, the less I want to do. Let's live what we believe. It's more than words. Billy Graham said one of the biggest causes of unbelief in Jesus Christ in our country is Christians that are Christians in here, but not out there. If you have friends and they said, hey, they're a Christian, we'll say, yeah, no duh. Or that you gotta be kidding me. We have to be different. We have to be different in how we talk. We have to be different in our actions. Maybe you get shy. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're more of an introvert than an extrovert. But when you're with your friends and they start doing the bad jokes, you walk away. I noticed that when I talked about the party we were at. Is when I'm sitting there, man, people's languages are it's under control. When I walk out of the room, oh, you didn't say that word when I was in there. Okay, that's a good thing. They know that that's not who I am. Jesus says in Matthew 16, but who do you say that I am? Everybody in this room, I want you to answer that quietly. Simon Peter, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Are you saying that? I want you to really say it. I don't want you to say, yeah, I've known that. I've been saying that for years. No! I want you to recommit this morning. I want say, Jesus, I am yours. Because God is going to challenge you to do things you don't want to do. Is he your Christ? Too many Christians, he's their Savior, but he's not their Lord. As Dr. Webster would say, he's my rescuer. He rescued me from hell. But is he my leader? Is he my leader? Are you living according to the Word of God? I know temptation. Do you know what's cool? Jesus was tempted with everything. I have this temptation. I have this temptation. I have this temptation. Jesus said, yeah, I know what you mean. He just didn't do it. But he can relate to it. It's kind of like, okay, there's a rumor that a lot of people started diets today. I didn't. I'm doing it tomorrow. Here's what's wrong about a diet. You think of the one thing you don't want to do. That's eating. You can't be successful long term without God. I want to give up. I've shared before, I'm careful what I watch because of my language. I don't want to be up here and go, all of a sudden I drop a bunch of F-bombs. Hopefully I wouldn't do that. But I know my weaknesses. Some of my weaknesses aren't your weaknesses. Some of the things, like I said, I could live at Turning Stone and I wouldn't spend a dime because gambling has absolutely no control over me. I know people that have lost a bunch of money there. A buddy of mine from up north said, man, I won $500 at Turning Stone. I said, whoa, I know who's buying dinner. He goes, then I lost $1,000. I don't get that because I'm not a gambler. But the things that bother me don't bother you. But I need Jesus Christ to get over it. For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father. Then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Are you forgiven? You sure are. You going to be judged? Oh, you sure are. Look at the parable of the talents. What are you doing with what God gave you? There is a lackadaisical attitude that has crept into the church. It's crept into my heart. It's crept into my life. And I got to say, God, I need your way, not my way. I want to take the road less traveled. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, i.e. hell. And those who enter by it are many. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. The reason we need Christ, and I need to give myself to the Holy Spirit, is the road is hard that he wants me to live, that he wants you to live. You cannot do it on your own. God is going to fill you. I want my life to echo the words of John the Baptist. I must decrease. He must increase. It might be what you eat. It might be what you wear. It might be what you watch on television. It might be you lose friendships because you can't tolerate some things. He must increase. We must decrease. As I close, the summary is, we are called to be disciples and we'll examine various aspects of all discipleship. I was pastoring up in Copenhagen. The Lord gave me this word. We're going this way. I was excited. Then he said to me, not everybody's going to come. And that broke my heart. I saw that happen. I saw people were going here. They'd fall by the wayside. Some of them just quit going to church. I still hope they're walking with the Lord. What am I saying? We're going this way, man. I want you all to come along. God doesn't force us. He says, are you willing to take the road less traveled? So we're called to be disciples. We're going to look at this year at various aspects of discipleship. It can seem daunting, but it shows us our need for God. You know, Jesus tells us his way is narrow and due to the cost. Many say no. Many Christians say no. We go here, we're doing good. We go here, we're doing good. I'm going to stay on my plateau. I don't want to stay on a plateau. Can I tell you something? As I put this message together the last 2 weeks, God has been challenging me and stirring up my world in ways that really brings me to my knees, but I have to look to him and I have to say yes. Am I afraid? Yes, I get anxious. But that brings me to my Lord. His way is narrow. Last thing is, New Covenant, we are not shrinking back. That's why we need one another to encourage one another. We will proceed by faith and grow in our trust for Christ. A good leader pushes you past your comfort zone. A good coach puts his arm around you while he's kicking you in the backside at the same time. Look at Jesus and his disciples. He didn't just feed them fluff. If you want fluff, listen to the guy in Texas with the big church. I'm not talking his name. I'm going to give love, I'm going to give grace, or I'm going to give reality, because that's what Jesus Christ did. So Lord, we come before you today. We're talking about the road less traveled. You tell us you're going to repay us according to our works. I look at those words and it doesn't scare me. But it reveals to me that I need discernment. You tell us in your word to take every thought captive. We cannot give us ourselves the grace to think wrong of other people, to think wrong about sin. We can't give ourselves the grace to say, I'm forgiven, so it's okay if I do this. Are we going to stumble? Of course we are. Are we going to sin? Until our dying days. But we can't give in to that lifestyle. The struggle is real. But Lord, we have to say, who do you say I am? We say you're the Christ. Help us to turn over the keys to our kingdom, to our lives, to you. And I do want to encourage a lot of us experienced saints. God is speaking to you today. He wants you and me to come to him saying, Lord, I don't have my act together the way I think I do. I need you, Lord. There is a new degree, a new day of humility that God is calling me to, and he's calling you to. He has glorious things for this church that will bring glory and honor to his name. He will not twist our arms to make it happen. If we don't follow his way, I do understand that we will cease to exist. But my prayer is, that's not going to happen. Because New Covenant Community Church is not going to shrink back. We're going to stand firm on the solid ground. And when the waves come, we're not going to be shaken. Our foundation of Jesus Christ is going to stand firm. We're going to go forward by faith, Lord, and we're going to trust you. So, Lord, I pray for everybody in this room that you would touch them and encourage them, Lord. I know there's various situations, Lord, that are hard right now. I pray for your peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. Paul could press on because he saw the end game. Help us to press on because we know our eternity is with you, Lord. Let us not listen to the lies of the enemy, but let us be defined by your word, Lord God. I thank you for this church and for all you're doing as we celebrate a new day of the year, Lord God. Let this be a new day spiritually where we recommit to you and we're excited for what lies ahead, Father. Let the past encourage our faith, but let us embrace the new revelation of what you're doing, Lord. In your name we pray and blessings. Amen.